Well, good morning, church. Once again, I invite you to watch the boys and girls with me as they're being dismissed now to Children's Church and to Puggles. Watch the boys and girls as they're being dismissed right now. Children's Church and Puggles, see if they don't have a little extra skip in their step. See if they don't have an extra little glimmer in their eye. See if they don't have a little extra stretch to their smile. Watch the boys and girls when they're leaving. Now, don't fool the pastor. No. Well, when I was their age, I was very excited. Today was an extremely important day in my life. You know why? It was the first weekend after school got out. Can I get amen? You remember those days when the school was out, you thought you were out forever, you're so excited. Wow. Did anybody get a chance to see the Peanuts movie last year, the Charlie Brown movie that came out in all the theaters? Well, I've only seen little clips of it. When you watch the movie like that with your grandchildren, you don't get to watch the whole movie, you just get to watch clips of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? My favorite clip of the Peanuts movie is when Sally, Charlie Brown's little sister, was so excited about the last day of school, she kicked open the door, she was skipping down the steps, all the boys and girls were waiting there at the bus stop to pick up the school bus, and she said, "Today's the greatest day of my life." Of course, she's only five. And Charlie Brown said, "Sally, why are you so excited?" She said, "Today's the last day of school." And everybody said, "Of course, we're excited too." She said, "No, forever." And Charlie Brown said, "Sally, I have some bad news for you. Today's the last day of this school year." "What? You still have 8 more years of grammar school, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college in your undergrad, and perhaps if you work on post degrees, you're going to be in school for a long time." Sally goes, "I don't know anything about math, but I'm going to be old and wrinkled when I get out of school." Amen. You think about this. Next to Christmas and their birthday, the greatest day in the life of a child, next to Christmas and perhaps their birthday, is the last day of school. What about us as Christians? Next to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the day we were born anew, born from above, what is the greatest day in your life as a Christian? As you open your Bibles now to Acts chapter 1, Andy will come forward, please. He'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Dear friends, exactly 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave, he ascended back to the Father. We forget about this. For 10,000 Bible points, does anybody know when Ascension Day took place recently? Anybody know? I'm looking around the audience here. Raise your hand if you know. When was it, Steve? Thursday. Show your love here for Steve over here. Thank you. Here's the deal. Most Christians have forgotten about Easter. Oh, how we come together and we celebrate the King of Kings and Lord over all. Yes, even over death itself, even over the grave itself, Jesus rose to the glory of God the Father. Yes, but he sojourned on planet Earth for 40 days. And Acts chapter 1 is a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Watch this. As Jesus left this earth and went back to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he went up. Who came down? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus went up, and the third person of the Trinity came down on this time. Let's read about it. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Andy?
"The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also prepared himself alive after his suffering, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
Wow. Thank you for the reading of God's holy word here today. Let's pray about it right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your holy word. You are not the author of confusion. You're not a God of mystery. You're a God who revealed himself to us in days past and is still doing so today. May you bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of thy holy word. And all of God's children said, amen. Ascension Sunday. Last Sunday we had graduation Sunday and all hearts and minds were focused on the high school graduates, of course. But folks, right now God has to compete with our summer schedules. Most churches don't ever address Ascension Day. But we're so wrapped up in everything that's going on. Right now, on the forefront of my mind is Vacation Bible School. We have a grandchild that's overdue and that we would covet your prayers. But in addition to our grandchild being born, right behind that, we're saying, God, Vacation Bible School is coming. We're not quite ready. Please, please shower down your presence, your goodness, your grace on us, your wisdom, your attention on us, so we can just reach these boys and girls like we do with Awana. We can invest in the boys and girls. Folks, they're a part of the church. Can I get amen? Children aren't an afterthought. Jesus said the children would lead them. We want to invest in boys and girls on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and throughout the year. But here's the deal. We get so wrapped up in our summer schedules, all of our vacations, the state fair, all this, we forget that 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave, he ascended back to God the Father as he had prophesied in the Old Testament. And now he's living it out. And even his followers behind is gazing up, looking. And of course, the angel said, what are you doing? It's time to get busy for the Lord. And that's where we are today in this dispensation. We need to be busy for the Lord. Well, how important is the ascension of Jesus Christ? Very, very important. Because after Jesus went up, we've already determined the Holy Spirit came down. Now, you realize you can limit the Holy Spirit? You realize you can grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30? Dear God, we never want that to be so. We have all these themed Sundays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Graduation Day, Sam's Day, all these days. We must give attention to the fullness of Christ. His death, his burial, his blessed resurrection, of course, but also to complete his plan, he ascended back to God the Father. And we just heard from Andy, as he read from the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, he's coming again. This would be a great time to ask yourself, not your neighbor, ask yourself. If Jesus were to return today, would I be ready? Would I be ready? If not, today can be your spiritual birthday. You see how simple and yet how profound that is. Well, I invite you also to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and open your study guide inside of your sermon notes section there in your bulletin so we can consider this basic question. The ascension of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How important really is this? Why are we taking so much time to really go through the scriptures again and trace the steps of Jesus, fit together the master plan of God? How important is the resurrection? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm just going to be reading verses 12 and following here, and then we'll be kind of considering the thoughts. How important is this? It's very, very important. Notice what the Apostle Paul said about 25 years after Christ ascended back to the Father. That's when 1 Corinthians was written. About 25 years after Jesus Christ has sent him back to the Father. Think about this, 25 years? There's people who saw him 500 at one time. Others ate with him. Others spent time with him. They knew, they saw, they hadn't forgotten about this, and yet he had to remind them. This is paramount in your life as a believer, in Christendom, in the life of a Christian. This is very, very important. This is non-negotiable. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12 and following, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead?" They're 25 years now, they're already starting to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then certainly the dead can't rise from the grave. Everything that Jesus taught all this time, everything the prophets of old in the Old Testament were teaching, he's saying, how soon are we forgetting this? 25 years. Now let's fast forward to where we are today. 2019, you ask the average person who gets out of church today, what is Ascension Day about? They can't answer that. How important is this? It's very important. Yes, Jesus conquered the grave, of course, but he went back to God the Father so the Holy Spirit could come down. He said, if I don't go back to the Father, you won't have permanent residence of the Holy Ghost of God, who guides us and counsels us and gives us everything we need to go through life today. So verse number 13 says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You see what he's saying? He's kind of posing the question. He's putting words in her mouth. If you don't believe in this, folks, this is really in vain. We find that in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then even our preaching, our teaching is empty. It's also in vain. And your faith also. Yes, and we have found false witnesses. He said, think about this. All the followers, all the believers in Jesus Christ in verse 15, we are nothing but liars. We are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. God the Father raised Jesus up from the grave, whom raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He said, if Jesus didn't rise, the dead are not going to rise. He said, folks, you got to get a grip on this. This is important. This isn't Baptist, Methodist. This isn't color of pews. This isn't cookies and crayons. You're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is important. So to answer the question there on the overhead as well as in your bulletin, how important is the resurrection? It's very, very important. And yet some people say, well, it's just not really that important to me. It's important to God. It's important to God because one day you and I are going to die and our body will be resurrected. And Jesus Christ saying, you're going to be standing before me, a holy and righteous God. What are you going to say about this day, about my resurrection, about my ascension back to the Father, about me sitting to the right hand of God, waiting to come back to planet Earth? What did you do with that? Well, verse 16 again, he just poses the statement of the dead. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised himself? And if Christ be not raised, he says, your faith is futile. It's in vain. You and yet are still living in your what class? In your sins. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, we'll go die in our sins and go to hell forever. But God said that wasn't his plan. So verse number 18 says, then they also, which are fallen asleep, which is a metaphor for dead, those who have accepted Christ and fallen asleep dead in Christ, are perished. If it ends right here, then everybody's just going to die and go to the osmosis, the outer darkness. Nobody gets a chance of the blessed hope. He said, no. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope, the confidence in Christ, we are of all men most despicable, most miserable. Folks, this is our blessed hope that we sing about, the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, we're all going to die and life is just going to end. You mean the life hereafter? Yes. There's no promise of a resurrection. There's no promise of heaven. Streets of gold, the crystal river, being with mama again, being with Jesus again, all those things are null and void if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. But glory to God, verse number 20, but realize this, but now it's proven that Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit, the first example of them which died before, which slept in Christ Jesus. Let's unpack this a little bit closer, shall we? I want you to fill in some blanks here when you're inside of your bulletin jacket. How important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Folks, if Christ did not rise from the grave, this is important, preaching would be pointless. Preaching would be pointless. Why are we here today? I wouldn't assemble together on a Sunday morning when I could be home watching TV, reading the comics, or even being at a ball field or going fishing. Hey, listen, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, I wouldn't go and stand and listen to a man just spew off a bunch of rhetoric about life and wisdom. No. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, preachers would be pointless. Preaching, exhorting the truths of God, would be a waste of our time. We started a new class this morning, a Discover FBC class. I want to extend the invitation to everyone here again today. This is not only for people showing interest in the church as a membership. We want to learn what we believe about the Bible, about the virgin birth. While we are Southern Baptists, while we believe the Bible first and Southern Baptist second, and all those things. If you want to be a part of this, simply see me. But all that, again, would be futile. It would be empty if Christ didn't rise from the grave. You find this in verse number 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is empty. Which, again, presents the question, why are we here? Well, of course we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to establish that right now. Everybody smile and say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we settle the score. But Paul and the early church here, they didn't really understand this. Even though Jesus Christ taught it, the prophets have been predicting this, prophesying all the years foretelling this, what's going to take place, they were still confused about this. Well, when's this going to take place? Well, hold on. Hold on again. Verse number 14 down here, if Christ did not rise from the grave, preaching would be pointless. The second thing we find in verse number 14, our faith would be foolish. Write that down. Our faith. You ever try to talk to a lost person, they say, you Christians are so foolish. You're so foolish. We say, you know what? The Bible talks about that. Would you mark your spot right here in 1 Corinthians 15? Turn back to the first page of the same epistle, the same letter. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And consider with me in verse number 18, I agree when people say you're foolish to have faith. I say, well, you know, the Bible talks about that. That the preaching and the faith of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, to friend, to you as a lost person, to you it may be foolish. I'm 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. This is one of those Bible verses you might want to underline in your Bible and put a little smiley face beside of it. When someone is genuinely interested in the gospel, they're genuinely asking questions, don't beat them down. It's our privilege as Christians, believers in Christ, to teach them, to show them. But some people say, it's just foolish to believe in God. Why are you even here? There's no heaven. There's no hell. It's just nirvana, you know, just state of mind, whatever the different philosophies are. You can go to this verse right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, the preaching, the teaching of the cross, our faith is to them that perish foolish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power, the didymos, the dynamite of God. Wow. That's why you and I got out of bed this morning. That's why we're not on the lake fishing. That's why we're not still home in our pajamas reading the comics. That's why we're not down at Shoney's trying to beat the 12 o'clock crowd from all those foolish people going to church. We're not mad at the world. We're not mad at the world. We have something they don't have. We have the faith in God, provided we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again, please. If Christ did not rise from the grave, we find in verse 14, preaching would be pointless. Faith would be foolish. But look in the next verse, verse 15. Disciples would be deceivers. We'd be liars. That's just a nice word for saying we'd be liars. Verse 15 down here, the Apostle Paul saying, yes, we would be found false witnesses of God if we didn't believe in this. Wow, think about this. You and I sharing our personal testimony, witnessing for Jesus Christ, investing in boys and girls in Awana, Sunday school, camps, VBS. The kids need a chance today in this crazy mixed up world. By a show of hands, how many of you would agree with me that today's world is much, I'm not talking about morals, I'm just talking about chaotic, is much crazier than it was when you and I grew up. Would you raise your hand? My goodness. Stuff kids talk about today, we didn't even talk about it in the locker room at high school boys. Stuff they say on cell phones, their parents, please put blocks on that. Please put blocks on your computers at home. Stuff that kids talk about today, we didn't even talk about as grown men. Goodness. But we know our faith and our trust is in Jesus Christ. But the world says there's really not a God. So you and I, with a smile on our face, we must share with them the Easter story, the full story of Easter, more than just the death of Jesus, also the resurrection of Jesus and His coming again. Can I get amen? He's not finished. When He said on the cross, tetelestai, on the cross, He said, it is finished. The plan, His death. He didn't say He was finished. The gospel wasn't finished. He said the death, the ultimate sacrifice. I paid the penalty of mankind because they're sinners. Folks, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, everything I'm telling you today, my preaching, my faith, my lying, I'd be deceiving you. But I know it's not true. I had a woman years ago come to me. We picked up her kids in vacation Bible school when she and her husband came. He got gloriously saved. He joined our motorcycle ministry. He was killed in an accident in Daytona, Florida. When I preached his funeral, you could have heard a pin drop, because we knew he almost didn't get in. Good guy, but good guys go to hell. It's not how much good and bad you do, it's your faith in Jesus Christ. And my now dear friend died. When his wife called, she said, Dallas, you won't believe this. Kip was killed on I-95. I was almost on the back of the motorcycle. All we would do is to go listen to some music and enjoy the beach. And a drunk driver crossed the road and hit him, killed him. Brand new motorcycle, $40,000 Harley Davidson. But let's back up a couple of years before that when we picked up the kids in Bible school. My dear friend, she said, Dallas, my dad has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He only has a few months to live. You probably know him. He's a very wealthy man, owns a lot of real estate, commercial real estate in this state. You may have heard of him, but he is vile. But I convinced Daddy that you won't come in and insult him. You won't hit him over the head with the Bible. You will try to talk to him man to man about Jesus. He knows he's dying. He said he'd give you 5 minutes. Would you do it? I said, I'm on my way. So I drove to his office, his palace. I went in with one of my deacons. I said, Donnie, I just need you to stand there and pray and be quiet. I've got 5 minutes. The man didn't get up from behind his desk. He's like this. Ed said, go. Go, preacher, go. I shared with him the simple gospel. He said, is that it? I said, yes, sir. Would you like to trust Christ today? You know you have one foot in the grave. He said, not now. I'm not ready. You don't know what kind of life I've lived. I want to say, oh, yes, I have. Yes, I do. But I didn't. I didn't want to insult him. I said, sir, it's still here available for you. He said, we're done. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. I grabbed Donnie. Donnie said, but. I said, come on. We go to leave. We walked outside this beautiful commercial building they had down near train depot. I'll never forget it. I walked across the railroad tracks. I'm going across the railroad tracks to get back in my car. And I heard, sir, preacher. I stopped. As a woman, it was his wife. She said, preacher, I'm sorry. Ed didn't trust Christ today. My daughter's been praying all this, she said, but this gospel, what's this now? Is this for everybody? I said, yes. She said, even me? I said, of course. She said, right here on these railroad tracks then, will you pray with me? I want to become a Christian. Right on the railroad tracks in downtown Northern Virginia for the world to see. She said, woo! She got saved. She said, you know what I need to do? I need to take what I have inside of me now and I'm going to unleash it on him. She did. He called me weeks later. He said, I need to see you again. It's going to be a different meeting. My wife has been all over me. I'm ready. Days after he accepted Christ, he died and went to heaven based on his faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why the resurrection is important. That's why the ascension of Jesus Christ, a promise of him rising again. That's why we are not deceivers, but people say we are. But preaching would be pointless if Christ didn't rise from the grave. Look at the second thing. Our faith would be foolish if Christ didn't rise from the grave. We as believers, disciples, would be liars ourselves, just deceivers. And of course, let me hurry here. Obviously, in verse number 17, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, then our faith is futile. We would die in our sins. Sinners would die in our sins. Look at the next one. Heaven, the promise hereafter, would be a hoax. Heaven would be a hoax. And verse number 19, even our future, the hope we have in Christ Jesus, we would be miserable, despicable. There'd be no hope. I remember Andrew Connor's father praying this portion of Scripture at the Easter sunrise service, and I had a little spell. God said, that's what you're going to be preaching on Ascension Sunday. What? Andrew's father, who prayed during our Easter sunrise service, said, Father, if your son didn't rise from the grave, he preached this portion of Scripture in his prayer. God spoke to him. Dear friends, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, look at your handouts. Say it with me. Preaching would be what? Pointless. Faith would be what? Foolish. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, disciples would be what? Deceivers. Look at your handout. Sinners would die in their sins. That's you and I. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, he didn't conquer grave itself. You and I would be dying in our sins. This is important. Heaven would be what? A hoax in verse number 17. And our futures would be empty, or better, be futile. And last, verse number 20, sadly, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, he himself would be conquered. But glory be to God, we know that is not true. Would you turn with me? The same chapter. Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 55 through 58. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, the sting of death is sin. We have that. We're sinners. And the strength, of sin is the law. Man was adding their laws to this. God said, no, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 57. You see that? Whenever you and I sing victory in Jesus, here's where it comes from. It didn't come from Bill Gaither. It didn't come from another writer. It came from the Holy Word of God. Victory, victory in Jesus. Thanks be to God, which gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 4 as we close. Here's how the Apostle Paul started this. Again, about 25 years after Christ rose from the grave. He said, listen, brothers and sisters, I need to remind you of something. I need to declare unto you the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? We throw that word out there. We're going to see here in just a moment. Which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also rescued, saved, like my friend Ed and others who put their faith in Jesus. This is available for everyone who will believe and receive. All right, verse number 2. Which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed it in vain. He said, listen, verse 3 and 4, here's the gospel in a nutshell. Three part. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. What was Paul's name before God called him Paul? Saul. There you go. And he said, I'm the chief among sinners. I was persecuting Christians. He was there when the first martyr of the faith, Stephen, died. Paul said, if anybody's qualified to be preaching this, it's me. I was chief among sinners. But thanks be to God, I'm no longer what I used to be. Amen? He said, here's the gospel in a nutshell. For I delivered unto you, verse 3, first of all, that which I also had received myself, How that Christ died for our sins, that's number one, underline that please. According to the Scriptures, the Bible, Christ died for our sins. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Verse number four, He was buried, that's number two. And verse number four, the third part of this gospel, He didn't stay dead. He rose again on what day, class? On the third day, according to the Scriptures. And it goes on to describe, many people saw Him. Cephas, the 12 apostles here, the earlier followers, 500, look in verse number six, 500 at one time, and perhaps many of you here in this audience. So here's the thing. Ascension Sunday, dedicated today. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, folks, it all ends right here. But glory be to God, He did rise from the grave. Look in verse number 20 again. Now is Christ risen from the dead, has become the first example, the first fruit of them that slept. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the second man, the second Adam, Christ, also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, since our Adamic nature, Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden, even so in Christ shall all be made, what class? Alive. The question for you and me today is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Are we alive? Are we alive in Christ Jesus? If so, put a smile on your face. Get excited. Easter isn't over. The world tells us it's over. The devil especially tells us it's over. Just fill your summer calendars and watch this, even the church calendars with a bunch of stuff. Just don't talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't talk about the forgiveness of sin. Don't talk about heaven as being real. Don't talk about this being the truly inspired, God-breathed, the pneumos of God book for mankind. Don't talk about when Jesus went up, watch this, that the third part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, the Holy Spirit came down and indwells in believers, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. Don't tell them that. Just have your little Easter Sunday and then do whatever else you want to do for the next few months till school starts again. God forbid. 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave, He assembled together and was taken up visibly. Friends, we're talking again tonight in Revelation. When Jesus comes back again, the world's going to be able to see Him. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you a believer? Or is it just pointless for you being here today? No. Today is the day of salvation. Put your faith and trust. I'm talking to you and our radio listening audience. Today is your spiritual birthday. Like the boys and girls who are excited with school being out, today can be the greatest day in your life if you allow God to save your wretched soul. Let's pray about it. Father, we've gone as far as we can. And all this is pointless without You and Your blessing. You never promised to bless me or any preacher, but only to bless Your holy word. So with this, dear God, we give ourselves to You. Body, soul, and spirit, touch the hearts of those who may be outside the family. Speak through Your Holy Spirit. Convict those who may not be saved. The radio listening audience or some here visibly among this assembly. Dear God in heaven, do for us what we can't do for ourselves. It's foolish to the world, but it's the power. We need that power, wonder-working power from above. Come down, forgive us, and save us. Friend, is that you? Ask God to do that right now. Forgive you for your sin and save you. And He will set you apart into a good work. Father, again, as we close this time, we thank You for King Jesus who made all this possible. Through an echo throughout this room and across the radio airwaves, we say, Amen.